start at verse 5 today. For this you know, again, that's an absolute. Why? Because saints of God know. God has revealed himself to them through the word of God. There's some things that we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In chapter 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to the saints, he's writing to the faithful. And he says, ye know, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I suspect that the reason there's a lack of spirituality, even amongst saved folk today, is because of these factors. Whoremongering, uncleanness, covetousness, idolatry. I think everything in this world, in our lives, is geared towards pushing God aside and trying to distract us from the main thing, which is our relationship with him. But then he commands this in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Why won't men deal with these issues? Could be they have the issue. I told your pastor, I came up in a church that when I first got saved for 8 years, they talked about people shacking up, but they never preached against fornication. Never heard preaching against adultery. Found out later it's because it was just prevalent in the congregation and in certain families, including the clergy. So they won't say boo about it. But he said to the saints, let no man deceive you. Brother Maury, Brother Ronnie, you all want to be popular preaching everywhere you go? Just preach this. You'll find your popularity skyrocket. Everybody will know who you are, I promise you. They'll mark you, they'll label you, they'll avoid you. But everybody will know who you are. Why? Because this is the sin of today. It's been the sin of in the church, if you will, for 2,000 years. Yeah. And that's why it's being dealt with. But don't be deceived. Another place is, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. So don't be deceived by vain words. Don't be deceived by those that promote the selfishness and the godlessness of such things. This is what he said. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I was looking over there recently in Deuteronomy when the Lord, through Moses, is explaining to the children of Israel step by step what has taken place. And how he led them out by his mighty hand. And then how he slew some of them for fornication. He slew some of them for idolatry. And Moses wrote that God had, or spoke that God had even written those tables of stone with his own finger. And Moses told them, yet I came down from the mount, and there you were worshiping a golden calf, and I break the tablets which God had made. He goes on, he tells them, he says, your raiment wore not. Your feet did not swell. Angels food from heaven. Manna was fed to them. But then he made this great statement. He chastened you as children. The wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience for these things. Don't be deceived. It may be later down the road. It might be later in your life. But that covetousness will catch up. That idolatry will catch up. That uncleanness will catch up. A whoremonger where it's going to catch up. We look for the instant rebuke, the instant chastening. We look for children out of wedlock and disease and the things that the natural man can understand. But he's talking about in the spiritual. Amen. The things which we cannot see. As a parent, there's times, and my wife had an incident last night. And Nathaniel, who's a little pig, just shoves his face full of food. And if you don't watch him, he'll have a mouthful of food. And he was choking pretty good last night. As a parent, as a father, I pray over those things for my children. Beg God for their lives. I'll tell you, one of the reasons why is because their daddy was far from a stellar Christian. For the first 4 or 5 years of his Christian life. And I fear God. Wow. There's things God's let me know. I've reaped what I've sown. But God forbid, being saved almost 25 years, I would go back on those things that God has taught me.
Amen.
God forbid. That's why dead flies, the apothecary, send forth a stinking savor. So did the little folly. And him is a reputation. I think I'm quoting it correctly. Pretty close. And reputation, wisdom, and honor. What does that mean? That man's reputation for wisdom and honor. All of a sudden, after 25, 30 years of building his reputation, he takes a lid off a jar, a fly gets in, and forever his reputation is tainted. That little stinking savor, that one folly in the reputation. Young convert, hey, listen, it's easy to start over. I'm not being funny. You ought not want to, but it's easy to start over. But people are lenient or forgiving. But you get down the road, been saved for decades, your pastor, Brother Hain, almost 25 years for myself, and you throw it all away with one moment of foolishness.
Yeah.
And everything you've preached is a joke to people because you couldn't maintain it. Don't be deceived by vain words. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. That's not the message, that's the prelude. Be not therefore partakers with them. That's the unclean, whoremonger, covetous man who is an idolater. Don't be partakers with them. Have no doings with their doings. And he says in verse 8, and here begins the message, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are, that's active, present tense, are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Some of you that are saved, you don't have to answer out loud or raise your hand, but you remember those days. When did you really do your worst deeds? Noon? 3 p.m.? I mean, the police are actually shocked when they get a murder call at 3 in the afternoon. They're shocked by it. It's usually something just boiled over, been festering. But when is evil done? I know in the city of Baltimore, we were there many years in homelessness. We didn't have to deal with the drug dealers. You know why? They didn't come out until well after the sun had set. Mm-hmm. We always said they came out with the rats.
Yeah.
We started seeing the rats come out. We started seeing the dealers come out. Why? Because they're under the cover of darkness. Now, he said, ye also sometimes were in that darkness. Now, he's right with the saints of God. Was he just talking about the past tense? I'd hope so. I hope he's talking about your past life. I was hoping to talk about that old life which you've done away with. But I believe he could be speaking of things since we've been saved.
Oh, yes.
Where we revert back into the darkness.
Come on.
We go back into the things we were.
Yeah.
Go back to the things that we claim we've forsaken, claim we've walked away from, claim that God has removed us from.
Come on, help us.
But now ye light. Can I forcefully say this commandment? Walk as the children of light. That's where your walk ought to be, is in light. Never in darkness, never hidden, never secret. Always on the up and up. What do you have to hide again when people come to your house? It doesn't have to be the physical things. It could just be your emotional state. It could be your relationship. You know, we've stayed with Sam and Charity long enough now that I told her we're about to pass her parents living there as far as time, but that's a whole other story. Listen, they had this great opinion of the McVeighs, and the McVeighs moved in. And, you know, now here it is, what, almost 10, 11 days later, and, you know, they've kind of seen the real McVeighs. And if you want to know what that is, invite us into your home for 10 days. You'll find out why there's nothing hidden, nothing secret. If I'm going to fight with my wife, I'm going to do it in public. I'm not going to do it secretly. I'm saying fact. I don't even go out the back porch and scream at each other. No. I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist or act like it's not there, act like it's something that doesn't never has happened. No, it's on the up and up. Why? Because we're walking in the light. We're children of light. You know how you're going to get help? Walk in the light. You say, I got these horrible flaws. Walk in the light. As he is in the light.
Thank you.
Come on.
Where do you get flawed? You get flawed in the darkness. You get flawed in the danger of night, the cover of darkness. That's when the flaws get you. There was a boy, we'd play, you know, typical young teenage boys, I mean, 13, 14, we'd play tag and guns and hide and seek and bury the club and BB gun wars and just all of those things. There's only certain things you could play at night. And I remember, you know, many times, one of us running through the darkness. I remember one guy literally took a clothesline in the chin and end over end, and us being kind, compassionate teenagers, we all stood around and pointed at him and laughed as he's laying on the ground choking, grabbing his throat. And I remember running smack dab into a pine tree and, you know, climbing. I remember two boys on a motorcycle and they were going to jump the fence row. They didn't realize that there was a fence in the fence row. And we again laughed and made fun of them. And they went to the hospital and we all laughed. And they were teenage boys. Like the guys, the preacher said last night, time to man up a little bit. Amen. It's just a broken shoulder. You'll be fine. Moms, they'll be fine. You know why? Because it's under the cover of darkness. So where do we get wounded? We got wounded in the darkness. Where did you get these grotesque things that alter your appearance under the cover of darkness? You just take that a lot of ways. When does most of the suffering come? He said, weeping may endure for the night. Where does most suffering come? In darkness. Not in light, but it's in darkness. When does the adulterer do his work under the cover of darkness? When do men steal under the cover of darkness? And we're getting a phone call. It's interesting, I remember that when we talked about the other night. Johnny Carson's last show was on the television. That's why I remember, it's end of May. I got a phone call from a friend. He said, would you mind picking me up? I said, no, I'm busy. I need a ride, man. We need a ride really bad. And I'm like, I can't do it. He goes, come on, man. We're going to go to jail if you don't pick us up. I said, well, no, I'm definitely not picking you up then. Under the cover of darkness, they waited and waited, and the shopkeeper closed up, and they decided to go in the shop. And the alarms went off, and they got cut breaking glass, and they're bleeding. They're standing outside a sheet store covered in mud, blood running down their clothes, stacks of stolen items piled up on the sheets curb, and the alarm going off three buildings down, and the police car drove by and thought, well, that's peculiar. Why? The foolishness under the cover of darkness. And men, because they're walking in darkness, Let's just go to John and read that. I don't want to misquote that by any means. Let's go to John chapter 3. Why do men walk in darkness? Why do men live in darkness? Why, and just bear with me on this, why do the saints of God revert back to darkness when they're children of light? This is what John said. In verse 17, for God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is what damns us. This is the condemnation of our soul. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Men love darkness. Why do men love darkness? He tells you. It's rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why do the saints revert back to darkness? Because their deeds are evil. Why do the saints go back on God? Because their deeds are evil. This means more to me than my relationship with God. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience because of those things. For those that are lost, why do we walk in darkness? Why are we walking in the shadows of night? Because our deeds are evil. There's things in our life that we're hiding, we're burying. We've got a secret life we've talked about. Men walk in darkness because their deeds are evil. There's no other reason. I lived in Iceland for a year. Go out on those bitterly cold nights. You know how I knew that light was coming into the world? Because everywhere I looked, God would manifest that light was coming into the world. You could read by the stars. When the moon was out across St. Gerti, we were out in the peninsula, the Keflavik Peninsula. When the moon would come out on three sides, we had the ocean. Just glistening white. We could throw a football around. It would be so bright. The aurora borealis all winter, swirling through the skies, brilliant in its colors and its display. God had revealed to us that light was come into the world. But that light was just a manifestation of which that which was to come. He hung that greater light in the day, that lesser light at the night, but there was a light which was to come, which was to light the whole world. It was his Son, Jesus Christ. And God gave that light to men because their deeds were evil. Verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Can I be real plain? I don't normally do this, I'll be honest with you, I'll be real plain. There's people I love in this room. I've watched them shudder under the horror of their life and shake off the condemnation this week. I've watched as the light enters. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and the light shines in our hearts. Because the evil, because the light shows how evil it is, it shows how awful it is, and that light comes in. I watch people reject the light and shake off the light and shudder at the light. Why? They don't want the evil of their deeds reproved. The thing is, oftentimes we think it's because of people, but it's not because of people, because there's not a person in here that needs to know what you've done in your life.
That's right.
But it's because the great God of heaven has shown his light upon your heart.
Yes, yeah.
And it begins to expose what's in your heart. And the horror of what you, and listen, I want you to be listening to me real quick. Everybody here, listen. I don't know what you've gone through in your life. There's horrors that some of you have experienced in your life beyond my comprehension. But the only way you're going to deal with it is bring it to the light.
Yes, that's right.
The awfulness. Every person here could tell their stories of the horrors of life, the awful things done to them, the awful things they've done, the awful things they've been exposed to in this life.
And every one of us must deal with them with God. God's trying to bring them to light in these weeks. God's trying to bring them to the forefront. And if you push it down and repress it and try to hide it, God's just going to have to dig deeper to dig it up.
I watch a generation today deal with symptoms. They'll say something like this: I apologize, I lost my temper. Listen, I'm not trying to be flippant. That's fine. That doesn't bother. Thank God. I've had to apologize to people for losing my temper. But you don't have to reconcile to God. Why?
Come on.
Why did you lose your temper? Husbands, listen here. Honey, I'm sorry I struck you. Why? Wives, listen to the preacher. I'm sorry I ran my mouth at you. That's not the problem. Why?
Come on.
I'm sorry I don't love you the way I ought to. Why? What is it that's deep in the heart that God's trying to root out of the heart? Doctors deal with symptoms today. That's why I'm going to be real kind, but most of them are just about worthless today. They read a spreadsheet and say, well, this is what the medical board recommends. You don't have a clue what's wrong, but I'm going to treat your symptom. I'm just being honest with you. I go to the VA doctor, they ask him, what do you want? I'm like, well, Tylenol with codeine to start, about 200 of them. May as well make some money while I'm here. I'm being funny, kind of, but not real. Like, what's the strongest stuff you can get? And they'll tell you. They don't tell you what's wrong with you. They just say, hey, we'll just give you Tylenol with codeine. That'll help you. No, it really doesn't help me. Short term, it does. When I had my wisdom teeth pulled back in 1993, I took Tylenol with Cody, and I remember I was mowing my mom's grass with cotton shoved up in my jaw, trying to hold my jaw together, and I was out mowing my wife because I was on Tylenol with Cody. Short-term fix. I'm sorry I haven't been a very nice person. Well, that's really romantic, but why?
Come on.
I know, honey, I'm going to pick on you just a minute. My wife goes, honey, I'm really tired. I go, well, yeah, but that's just about a quarter of it. Picking on my wife, it's okay. You know, oh, honey, I'm sorry, I snapped you. I'm really tired. No, it's because I'm a jerk.
Sorry I was mean to you children. No, had nothing to do with your tired or a long day at work. It's because it's in your heart.
What do husbands and wives fight? Somebody help me out now. We just mentioned that word, H-E-A-R-T. You have trouble spelling, I'll say it out loud. Heart. God's trying to root things out of us and bring them to light. Because the deeds are evil. Not mocking. But I've had people over the years, they talk about revival. Well, we need revival. I mean, it's just a flippant word today. For us to see revival, what's it going to take? Light. Can you imagine what God could do in this room if he brought our deeds to light? And listen, not to each other, but before God confessed our evil deeds to him. There's no telling what God could do. In just case you're wondering, if we get right, God would send people in. God start bringing some of your family in. God start bringing some of your, I believe that's much as I'm standing here. But he that doeth truth in verse 21 of John 3 cometh to the light. There's that love of the truth, doing truth, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here's the carnal man, the natural man. Everything he does is according to his wisdom, according to his thinking. Everything he does. John, would you pray? I don't know why. We just need prayer.
Father, I want to pray right now. First of all, help each and every person to get their hearts and minds on what's being spoken. I pray that you give liberty to the man of God. And I pray for that person whose mind is 1,000 miles away, that you'd arrest them. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. God's not exposing our deeds to shame us. God's exposing our evil deeds so we can know him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. So God's trying to root down in the depths of the heart and get underneath the root of what's going on. For years, I've been in churches, and I hear, especially, and this isn't a slight of teenage girls, but I hear a teenage girl, because she'll get emotionally stirred, and she'll stand up and say, weeping sometimes, you know, pray for me, I don't read my Bible enough, I don't pray enough, and, you know, and everybody just go, oh, that's so wonderful. In my mind, I go, what's really wrong? That's not the problem. That's all of our problem. Let's just get that out of the way. I've said that here before. None of us read enough, none of us pray enough. Let's just get that out of the way. Let's just be honest. But what's really wrong is why we don't. What is it that's keeping us from that relationship with the Lord? The worst thing that you've ever done, the most grievous and awful thing you've ever done in your life, when it's brought to the light and made manifest in your heart, and if you'll confess it, forsake it. You know what God does? He forgives it. It's gone. He'll not remember it again. It doesn't matter the level of sin or the conditions we put on sin or the boundaries we set, say, well, this is the worst sin, this is the most awful thing. No, it's what God reveals in you. And he does it with light. Let's go back to our text in Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. If you went into inner city Buffalo, from an inner city, it's a newcomer, don't know the streets. They tell you you have to walk 5 blocks. You don't walk in the alley. You'd crawl through basements. You just sneak through people's backyards. No, you're going to walk in the light. You know why? Because you want your deeds to be manifest. And you want others' deeds to be manifest. And how do you do that? By walking in the light. You stand under a street light. Somebody else is walking in darkness. Who's going to get mud? When you walk in the light, God is going to manifest what you are. It's going to be revealed what you are. But when you walk in darkness and there is no light, then you can continue to hide, continue to be secret, continue to have that double life. Because you think nobody knows about it. But God does.
Yes.
But God does. Where does your marriage need to be? It needs to be in the light. Where do your children need to walk? In the light. Children don't have the ability naturally to walk in the light, so what do their parents do? They put them in the light. And they put them under the light. They're trying to let them escape the light, lest their deeds become evil. I remember as a boy being raised in the old holiness churches. We got older, came to teenage years. Remember, the older children would go play hide and seek in the trees. And all of a sudden reports started coming out of the trees. Why? They got out of the light. You see, your children are walking in darkness. Rest assured this, their deeds are evil.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because your deeds are evil. God's trying to dig down the depths of who you are. He's trying to salvage you, the person, from a life of darkness. But you got to be honest with God. Again, I know your pastor said many times in this pulpit, I've echoed it many times around the nation. There's things in my life that were brought on a screen before you today. I close my Bible and leave in shame. I pack the van, I probably leave my family here, and I just go home and hide myself because of the shame of things I've done. And that's since I've been saved.
No.
And that's not an excuse or reasoning, it's just reality. If I had to show you how I treat my wife, she deserves much better. But if I had to show you those things on a screen, I might not go home, but I'd go sit down and I'd weep. Some people live their lives just every day, they get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in sin. I have people I watch I know are bitter. I know, you know why? Because they defile everything they touch. And yet you talk to them about bitterness, and I've had people belligerently, I'm not bitter. Well, it's what he said. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's what the fruit of the Spirit is. See, the light makes manifest what's in you. The light is trying to manifest that outwardly to you. It's going to come out what you are. Now I'm going to go ahead and just pause for a moment. We're going to deal with a spiritual issue. You can resist this all you want, but I'm going to keep preaching. You can battle all you want. I'm going to keep preaching. The devils of hell have already attacked my family this morning. Attacked them in great force. The devils of hell have tried to shut down this service. I want you to know, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless his holy name. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them the dream. And our mouth was filled with laughter. And tongue was singing. The heathen raged and said, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Blessed be his holy name. Well, thank the Lord for his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So let the heathen rage. Let the devils gnash. Let the devils curse. Let the devils mock. But my God, my Savior, Jesus Christ, will prevail. One of these days will be a resurrection of the dead. Many that sleep in the earth, the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. God wants to resurrect you in life. God wants to resurrect you in joy. God wants to resurrect you in everlasting life. Not playing games. There's people I know still don't understand what's going on in these weeks. Let me tell you, I'm being real plain what's going on. The devils of hell are fighting what's going on. And God is trying to deliver some from sin. And God is trying to restore the saints of God. We're real plain Chris, Jody, God's trying to restore a family amongst us. The devil's a hell to fight. But it's not my battle to fight. It's not your battle to fight. So he's going to bless the name of the Lord. We're going to bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be exalted. You see, there's a lot of folks in darkness. They can't see that light. The light's been manifested to them. They keep hiding those evil deeds under darkness. Our text in Ephesians, verse 10, says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You don't have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What has sin brought in your life that was good? What has sin brought into your life that was clean? What has sin ever done for you to help?
Yeah.
But what do we serve? So often we serve sin. It's wrenched you, it's destroyed you, it's wounded you, it's cursed you, it's mocked you. It's brought you to death.
Yes.
Spiritually. But yet men serve sin because their deeds are evil. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret.
Yeah.
And notice verse 13. This is really our text today. And I know it took a little while, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He's not here today, but Randy had brought something up to me the other day. And I just looked him in the eyes. I said, Randy, God showed you that.
Amen.
And you know Randy. I said, God showed you that. He brought something, and you can tell him I said this, it's not private. He brought something to me the next night. I said, Randy, that's two nights in a row. God showed you something. You know what God's trying to do? God is trying to reveal himself to you, Randy Kane.
Yeah.
He didn't give me that weird look that time. Mm-hmm. He just went.
Yeah. God bless him.
Almost like who, me?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. What God has manifested in your heart this week is because of the light.
Yeah.
It's because of the light. God's brought the light to it and made manifest. You know what that is? That's God being merciful to you. Before this thing destroys you utterly, before this thing takes you to a place you can't return, before this thing, this sin takes you to a place there's no return from the brink of disaster, God has made manifest in your heart this sin, this thing that has beset you, this thing that's overthrowing you, and God has brought light to it to make it manifest. Who's he making it manifest to? To you. He's showing you. I know many times preachers are accused, say, well, my pastor talked to you, or the other pastor, did you talk to the evangelist? Now, let's be honest about it. There are times the pastors talk to the evangelist. And it just comes out in the preaching. And I'm not saying I thought about it. But you read, rest assured, more times off than not, it comes out in the preaching. And the pastor's never said a word to me. You know why? Because the light has made it manifest. How does that preacher know I'm addicted to pornography? Because the light has made it manifest. It has nothing to do with the preacher. How's that preacher know I'm an adulterer? Because the light has made it manifest. How's that preacher know I'm a thief? Because the light has made it manifest in your heart. God's brought light to your heart. He's making what's in there manifest that you might see it. Because you will not see it without the light. You won't see it in darkness.
Go down to the bar, go down to Moonwinks at midnight tonight, and go and ask the people, hey, listen, you're all drunk in here, and some of you are bloody, and you're cheating on your spouses. Do you see a problem with that? There's, ah, ha, 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 get out of here.
But if they came under the word of God, the preaching of the word of God could put light in their heart. It's going to make manifest, oh, my soul, I'm a drunkard. Oh, my soul, I'm an adulterer. Oh, my soul, I'm so unclean. My hands are so unclean. My life is so unclean. Just filthy. God's made that manifest to you. How do you deal with it? Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light.
Yeah, that's
good. Wake up. Wake up! Thou that sleepest.
God wants to resurrect you from the dead. He wants to bash you from death unto life. He wants to give you new life in Christ. But you better wake up to it.
I'll give you the illustration. And I believe it's right. The light comes in. It hurts at first. Turn that light off. It's like me in the morning. Turn that light off. I don't want light. By the way, I believe God gives that to us physically. We can understand it spiritually. I do believe that. I don't want light. Not this morning. I tell my children, I say, close your eyes. Dad's going to turn the light on. Nathaniel just flops over and puts his hand over his head for about 10 seconds. Liliana makes a huge deal about it. She's a girl. So a lot of people do. Turn that light off. Turn the light off. I don't want to see that. It hurts. It's painful. But when you've awakened, everything's clear. You've had that first diet Mountain Dew of the day. Just say, amen, help me out a little bit, amen. No backsliders, drink your coffee, go right ahead. And all of a sudden, things are clear. And all of a sudden, it's a new day, and there's life. And you say, oh, what a fool I was. I can see clearly. I'm no longer stumbling, I'm no longer wandering, I'm no longer falling in darkness, I'm no longer bearing the wounds of staggering around the dark. God's given me light. He's awakened me. And I can walk in the light as he is in the light. That fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I began to say the other evening, God has many divisions that God has made. Heavens, earth, land, if you will, and sea, man, woman, which is one of the greatest ones he put in the word of God, darkness and light. And God divided the darkness from the light. But then God did a marvelous work. He hung a lesser light to shine in the night. What is that lesser light? It's enough to give you just enough light that you can function until the morning comes. And God sends that greater light. He'll light your path. He'll light your way. God revealed himself through the Son. Now, I said a lot this morning. Didn't know what was going to say. Didn't know what needed to say. There's some things I thought I'd say, I did not say. But here's what I need to do. Prayer is an avenue to talk to the Lord. This is what I'd like to do. If you want, you must be willing. This is not a democracy or a theocracy. But you take that passage we've just gone over, and you read that verse by verse, and you ask the Lord about it.
Amen.
Lord, where does this fit in my life? Where does this apply to me? Now listen, some of you here know you walk in darkness. Lord, why do I walk in darkness? What's evil in my life that I won't come to the light? And you'll communicate that with the Lord. He'll communicate that with you.
Yes,
saints of God, there's no telling what God can do.
Amen.
If we just get right. We might want to look at that passage and say, Lord, I don't think I walk in darkness, but show me where I do. Oh, John, I'm
done. You got it, man.